This summer's One Great Read is a novel written by Indiana author Kurt Vonnegut almost 50 years ago. The New York Times Book Review says this is Vonnegut at his wildest best. And the Atlantic Monthly says Vonnegut was our finest black humorist. We laugh in self-defense. Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, in his review of God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, posits what he thinks Vonnegut had in mind when he wrote this novel. Schinkel begins his review by reading from the book.
A sum of money is a leading character in this tale about people, just as a sum of honey might properly be a leading character in a tale about bees. The sum was $87,472,033.61 on June 1st, 1964, to pick a day. The income the interesting sum produced was $3,500,000 a year, nearly $10,000 a day. Sundays, too. Well, so opens God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, one of the big novels of Hoosier author Kurt Vonnegut and the One Great Read book of the summer of 2012. Here's the outline to our story. As our story opens, we find the wealthy Elliot Rosewater wandering aimlessly through life, trying to find a reason for his responsibilities as the distributor of the family's age-old wealth. For Elliot Rosewater, as the eldest son of the previous generation's eldest son, is the head of the Rosewater Foundation. A foundation, Vonnegut writes, that was established in order that tax collectors and other predators, not named Rosewater, might be prevented from getting their hands on it. The Baroque masterpiece of legal folderol that was the character of the Rosewater Foundation declared in effect that the presidency of the foundation was to be inherited in the same manner as the British crown. Siblings of the president of the foundation were to become officers of the foundation upon reaching the age of 21. All officers were officers for life unless proved legally insane. They were free to compensate themselves for their services as lavishly as they pleased, but only from the foundation's income. And as we recall, of course, that income was $3,500,000 a year, nearly $10,000 a day, including Sundays. But Elliot Rosewater is not content to spend his life supporting the arts and scientific research and other traditional avenues of charitable giving. Oh, no. Elliot insists on moving himself to the locus of his family's original source of wealth, the now impoverished county of Rosewater, Indiana, where he sets up shop as a volunteer fireman and notary public, and sets out to give away the family fortune to the many folks in Rosewater, Indiana, who ask his help. Help for those cash-strapped occurrences that are the daily lives of so many of us. Well, Elliot is proclaimed a modern-day hero by the citizens of Rosewater. God bless you, Mr. Rosewater. And the center of first controversy, and then lunacy by the rest of his family, especially Elliot's father, the very traditional-minded Senator Rosewater, the longtime senator from the state of Indiana, who has this to say about his son's predilection of giving away money to just about anybody in Rosewater County, anyway, who asks for it. As his father says, "In his heart," said the senator, swirling his snifter, "Elliot doesn't love those awful people out there any more than I do. He couldn't possibly love them if he weren't drunk all the time. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is basically a booze problem. If Elliot's booze were shut off, his compassion for the maggots and the slime on the bottom of the human garbage pail would vanish." End quote. Not content with that, of course, he goes on. The senator scratched himself, though he did not itch. "How puffy and pasty he looks these days. I've seen healthier complexions on rhubarb pies. Sleeps in his underwear, eats a balanced diet of potato chips, Southern Comfort, and Rosewater Golden Lager Ambrosia beer." Senator rattled his fingernails against the photograph. Him! Captain Elliot Rosewater, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Soldier's Medal, and Purple Heart with Cluster. Sailing champion, ski champion. Him! The number of times life has said yes, yes, yes to him. Millions of dollars, hundreds of significant friends, the most beautiful, intelligent, talented, affectionate wife imaginable, a splendid education, an elegant mind, and a big, clean body. And what is his reply when life says nothing but yes, yes, yes? No, no, no. Why? Will someone tell me why? No one did. And so it is that Kurt Vonnegut presents us with a modern-day Robin Hood of sorts whose actions provoke as much uproar in 1965 as they did in the medieval England of yore. Well, I'm personally fascinated, as I've been talking to folks so far this summer, by the presumptions that readers bring to this tale, as fascinated as I am by Vonnegut's characteristic sarcastic humor. He is, after all, one of those authors to whom we can bring our own pre-existing desires and fears and superimpose them upon what our author is writing, mixing our thoughts so deeply into the story that it is difficult to stand aside for a few moments and ask, just what is the author trying to say? What is Kurt Vonnegut trying to tell us? It is true, upon a first reading of this novel, that many of us focus on Vonnegut's sarcastic rendering of rich people, leading one to the inescapable conclusion that Kurt Vonnegut is castigating the morals of the wealthy. Can Vonnegut's tale of family greed and uber-compassion in a rural Indiana community be read as a screed against wealth? Well, of course it can, and many have chosen to read God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater in that light. But I'd like to suggest that on closer observation, Vonnegut's lifelong career of finding fault with nearly every human character about which he wrote, but finding a spark of humanity in them as well, comports as well with God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater as a more cynical reading of the book. Look a bit closer, I suggest. Is Elliot Rosewater, our protagonist hero, all that and moral appealing a character himself? We just heard what his father, the senator, had to say about his current lifestyle. Elliot leaves his wife for his quixotic dreams of compassionate giving and pisses off all of his friends at the same time. He gives to the quote-unquote deserving and the quote-unquote undeserving in Rosewater County seemingly without care or concern. He fails to keep himself in good shape and is at best a sometime recovering drunkard, not the upstanding citizen we expect of our typical heroes. So let me suggest that perhaps, just perhaps, what Vonnegut is saying is that all people are lousy, albeit in different ways, and yet all people are worthy of respect and love just because they are people, rich, poor, ignorant, or smart. Indeed, at one point in our story, he has Elliot Rosewater's wife say just that about him. His wife, Sylvia, whom we are told had two nervous breakdowns behind her and no well-formed dreams before her, said quietly, "I don't want to argue." The senator replies, "You still could argue on Elliot's behalf?" And Sylvia, Elliot's wife, says, quote, "Yes. If I don't make anything else clear tonight, at least let me make that clear. Elliot is right to do what he's doing. It's beautiful what he's doing. I'm simply not strong enough or good enough to be by his side anymore. The fault is mine." Pained mystification and then helplessness suffused the senator's face. "Tell me one good thing about those people Elliot helps." "I can't." "I thought not." "It's a secret thing," Sylvia said, forced to argue, pleading for the argument to stop right there. "The secret is that they're human," said Sylvia. She looked from face to face for some flicker of understanding. There was none. Sylvia excused herself abruptly, went into the bathroom, and wept. Just perhaps the subtitle that Vonnegut appended to God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, which is Or Pearls Before Swine, was meant to apply to us readers and critics 50 years after this book was written, just as much as to the characters he lambastes in this book. Yes, there are many folks who claim after reading God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, that Kurt Vonnegut is calling for a socialist society in this novel, where the riches of the wealthy are forcibly distributed to the poor, for no other reason than to offer to the poor more money than they already possess. Well, perhaps. I personally think a better response to the book is to suggest that Vonnegut is encouraging us to move in the direction of what some have called a New Testament approach to social well-being, something that actually might surprise Kurt Vonnegut, that those with more money than they need for reasonable living ought to voluntarily share their wealth with those less fortunate than they. I don't really read in God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater that Vonnegut is urging governmental or religiously compelled intervention to make this quote-unquote sharing of the wealth happen. No, it seems to me that it's up to the allotted, self-made, wealthy American individuals to make this decision of their own free will. A philosophy, if true, that gives Vonnegut and Elliot Rosewater a decidedly late 19th century feel, in my eyes. Is even voluntary sharing of the wealth a good idea? Well, Elliot certainly thinks so, and evidently his wife Sylvia does too. And Elliot acts on his belief. Elliot's father, Senator Rosewater, disagrees with his son's views and acts on his beliefs. In the end of our novel, both Elliot and his father, the senator, find themselves content with their life's decisions, leaving us, God bless you, Mr. Rosewater's readers, I think, to decide which path we think is the better path to follow. Now, lest you think I'm off in left field or right field with this interpretation of God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, I can point to a few critics and reviewers of the novel who will give credence to my thought. For instance, critic Brian McCamick tells us in that august publication, Midwest Quarterly, that, quote, Elliot's father, Senator Rosewater, is wedded to a contemporary form of social Darwinism, where the poor are poor because they cannot be other than poor. And he goes on to say that, quote, both Senator Rosewater and Elliot agree that money isn't the solution to the problem, but the senator is unable to make sense of his son's methods. The impact of Elliot's humanitarian philosophy, resembling the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, isn't lessened by a strong opposing view presented by Senator Rosewater. It is made even more clear and sharply defined. In other words, McCamick goes on to say, in Rosewater, Vonnegut presents both sides of the humanitarian argument in a compelling light and invites the reader to choose, end quote. Another critic wrote, so why do I like this book so much? Because its haranguing of society is relentless. Capitalism is sneered upon, and the idea of inherited wealth is more than spat on. But the obvious reversal of socialism and charity and absolutely uncritical love for others is dismissed as the insane dream of the lunatic. Sadly, it is a novel that allows for no solutions, but it doesn't need them. Vonnegut is a critic, not an engineer. He can only condemn. It is incapable of building, end quote. And finally, this wonderful quote. The protagonist is a train wreck, and I couldn't tear myself away from the book. It seems that this is the author's intention. I was uncomfortable watching Mr. Rosewater's life fall apart until I realized that Rosewater enjoyed it. He is an insane philanthropist, irresponsible with his money, but by the end of the book, there is so much more to it. I realized that he never wanted to be responsible with his money. Further, I felt that the human response to wealth was disturbing in this book. The philanthropist was taking from the greedy and giving to the greedy. Rosewater was the only truly charitable character in the book. By the end, I was wondering if he really was crazy or if he was naive to the extreme, end quote. Well, in the end, for me, and perhaps for you, God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater is now nearly a 50-year-old novel that continues to delight, frustrate, and encourage readers who want to think about it to actually think about what they've read. Agree with Elliot Rosewater, or agree with his senator father, I think you'll find God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater can be a thinking person's read. And that's a great reason we've chosen it as our one great read title for 2012. Happy reading. God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater by Kurt Vonnegut. There are umpteen copies of this book available at all of our fine local libraries and certainly at the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed Kurt Vonnegut's God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, this summer's one great read for the Lafayette area.